Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com. And there you should find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Early Wednesday, 1 p.m., join us for Keeping It Brief. And Wednesday evening, Turn Up the Heat with the Artist Seduction. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon and Invading Walls, bringing you Bad Company and exploring Aphasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a walk on the wild side Tuesdays. Thursday, join Jeremy as he brings you the Headliner's Ball. Friday, break on through with Pam. Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contest and prompts for all our shows. Call and read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Gene.
Well, hello, Rex, and how are you tonight?
I'm just fine. How about you?
That's wonderful. Well, there's no sense complaining, right? That's what I feel. It looks like you have a great board up for tonight, and it looks like we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
It looks like a really good one. Yep. It's not every night that I sing along with all of your music. So I actually was like, wow, I scared myself a little bit. It was pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely. And just so you know, I picked Pam up. So hello, Pam, and welcome to the party.
Glad to be here. Hi, Gene. Hi, Rex.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, just sitting back, relaxing, enjoying life, and getting ready to hang out with you two. So, life
well,
is good. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like going to me. Awesome sauce. I think I'm jealous.
Awesome.
Sounded very, very good. I like it. Yeah, so, anyway. So, let's see. What possessed you with Deep Purple this evening at Rex? I love it at Gizmo.
It's a name that get bandied around here and there, but it doesn't get a lot of airplay, except for a few songs.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, it's a good choice. Good choice. Ah, see? And purple is a good color heading towards Halloween. It's purple and orange, you know. Just saying. Oh, my God, yes. So, anyway. So what are you going to tell us about Deep Purple tonight? Anything good?
Let's see. They were formed in London, 1968. Their original name was Roundabout. The idea was thrown out that they wouldn't have a permanent staff of musicians. But every so often they roll in some new goodies, new artists to display. That way they were called Roundabout. Somewhere in there, I think it was Ritchie Blackmore came up with the name Deep Purple. It was, I think, his grandmother's favorite song, so it stuck. They originally started out as a psychedelic rock band, and then in 1970 moved more into heavy metal, hard rock, and blues. They were known, along with Depp and Sabbath, as the Unholy Trinity, because they brought forth the birth of heavy and hard rock. They're listed in the 75 Guinness Book of Records as the globe's loudest band for a 1972 show at the Rainbow Theater in London. They sold over 100 million albums. Blackmore, Pace, Lord, Glover, and Gillan are considered the quintessential note to the original lineup. But even though they didn't get together until 1969 when Pace and Gillian came on, they've run through a number of lineup changes since 1973, including 84 and 89 when the original gang came back, and then again 92 and 93 when the original boys were on tour again. And they're still touring to this day. They once gave an audition to Rod Stewart as a lead singer. David Coverdale joined them in 74 as the lead singer. He's a Whitesnake fame, and an album he did with Jimmy Page back in 93. Tommy Bolin replaced Blackmore in 75, and Blackmore split off to form Blackmore's Rainbow Band. And then Joe Satriani joined them briefly in 93, and then was replaced by Steve Morse as a permanent member. Let's see. They got Legends Award in 2008, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 16, and originally back in October of 69, they were booked as, well, 68, sorry. They were booked as the opening act for Cream's Farewell Tour.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll save the other one for when the sun comes up.
Nice. Always full of all that information, you know? That's why I always ask you, because I keep it all locked up inside of you when you can share it with everybody. I like it. And what do you know about Deep Purple, Pam? Because I know you usually have your ducks in a row when it comes to...
I pretty much knew what Rex told you, not every single tidbit, but I knew that they were one of the godfathers of heavy metal. And, well, I know I like their music, so, you know, I'm just not as mind-blowing when it comes to information as Rex is.
I don't know. You know, they talk about too darn bad there, Pam, I've got to say. The show is usually cracking up at the beginning of the show. I said, there they go. They know it all. Between the two of them, we got it all covered. But,
almost.
So.
I held back one juicy tidbit.
Well, that's good. That's good. We like tidbits later on, you know, in different little spots. Okay. Well, I don't know. Whenever you're ready to get ready, whenever you're ready to get started.
Let's rock it.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to put up this first piece, and let me hit that button. And this is called Mistreated. And here we go. We'll be right back.
And that was the voice of David Coverdale with Richie Blackmore toasting up on the guitar. All right, Gene. Let's get that companion piece in there.
Okay, and I'm coming to you, Rex, with the very first piece. You can start it off with Mistreated by Diamond Dave. Thanks.
All right. Mistreated by Diamond Dave. My heart has been mistreated. Let's start it again. My heart has been mistreated. Love has been quite hard on me. My will has been defeated by a more that used to be. I'm doubtful of romances because my heart has yet to heal. I'm scared of taking chances and the way love makes me feel. The odds are pretty even that if I should fall again, my heart would start believing that it wouldn't end in pain. My brain, of course, remembers how love cut me to the bone and charred my soul to embers when it left me all alone. I want my heart protected, not molested or abused. If it should be neglected, it would leave me sore and bruised. Though loneliness is frigid, loss of love is even worse. That's why my heart is now rigid, and forlornness is my curse. And poem.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. Well, as always, Diamond Dave has just top-notch rhyming poetry. I really like that the main message of this is the idea of the fear that comes when risking one's heart at loving again after previous experiences with love have been very painful. I really like this all the way through, but especially the two stanzas that talk on the idea of the conflict between the way that the heart sees things and the way the brain sees things. The odds are pretty even that if I should fall again, my heart would start believing that it wouldn't end in pain. My brain, of course, remembers how love cut me to the bone and charred my soul to embers when it left me all alone. Just brilliant lines there and very well done.
Wow, thank you, Pam. And Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent reflection from the prompt. You know, I thought he really expressed the feelings well that were in the song. And I think he really he always has great rhythm and rhyme. And, you know, I hate to, you know, I feel like that's all I ever say about Dave's work, but he really is top-notch at that, as Pam said. He, but he definitely, you know, relates with the music here. And, you know, as he does in so many of your contests. And I think that's wonderful. And I thought it was just a great job, Dave. And thank you for sharing with us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Yes, David followed the song quite well, but he dug into the meat of it with the with his thoughts. Because my heart has yet to heal. I'm scared of taking chances. And then offering up notes that odds are pretty even. Fall again. Then his heart would stop breathing, it wouldn't end in pain. But the brain always notes that, hey, you might be thinking down there about that, but I'm up here left with the memories of the last one while you're trying to give it out again. So as Pam said, there is that note between what the heart wants and what the mind knows. And forever is that curse between them. Thank you, Dave. Oh, Gene, what was that?
Yes. Well, okay, let me go back and song. So let me see. This one is going to be Bad Attitude. So let me put that up. Here we go. We'll be right back.
right. That was from there. The core lineup returning in the mid-'80s, 1987's Bad Attitude with Ian Gillan on vocals, Blackmore Pace, Lord, and Glover together again.
Very cool. Okay. Well, that's going to bring me to this piece by M.J. Donnelly. I'm going to read this one.
Okey-dokey.
There we go. Let's make it large enough I can read. Just Let Me Cry by M.J. Donnelly. My mind is hazy, but I'm not crazy, though at times it seems I just can't convey. Inside, I'm warring with ghosts. I'm roaring, pounding my forehead, yelling, get away. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. It's sleep that I dread, and sights flash in my head. Sometimes I see things we weren't meant to see, and feels bloody red. I should have been dead. It makes me think of how it cares for me. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Sitting here alone, I hear death's starved moan, and sometimes I laugh, taunting just despite. Yes, I know I have known fear and still shed a tear, a step ahead of darkness and the light. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. In silence, I gleam where I would have been if I'd simply gave up without a fight. In a scarlet sheen, the things I have seen still lurk in my dreams each and every night. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. Don't ask me why. Just let me cry. And so on.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And everybody, you should read the AN as he states he's an Army veteran, although he didn't serve in combat, but he worked for the VA for more than 15 years, where he interacted with many veterans with PTSD. And this is his thoughts from the boys coming back and the experiences and problems that they went through. And that note to Bad Attitude kind of rolls within this because of the of what they hold still inside but can't actually convey to others because they know not of the reality that they were pressed into. So tell you what, this would make a great song with some music behind it. Thank you very much there, MJ. All right, Pam, what you got?
Yeah, this would actually. I thought the same thing. You know, I read this earlier, and I had seen the AN, but even before getting down to the AN, I had already thought about the PTSD angle, especially with lines like, it feels bloody red, I should have been dead. It makes me think of power cares for me. This would make an awesome song. The song... The group I could totally see doing this, besides Deep Purple, is I could totally see, and I'm blanking out on their name, but they did a remake of the song Bad Company, and I'll have to look it up, but I can see the videos of theirs, I can hear the sound, and I'm like so want to see them doing the song. But yeah, definitely heavy metal, hard rock riffs. To me, this was a powerful and emotive write with a great lyrical quality, especially with that repeating stanza. You know, I like how he writes about a difficult subject, a subject that really does need more, you know, exposure on when people come back from war and deal with PTSD. So, yeah, it definitely... hit really hard, and so beautifully done.
Yeah, Pee Wee got it right. It's Five Finger Death Punch.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
And Gene, what about you?
Well, you know, I think that MJ did a wonderful job with this. I think he nailed the prompt, and it was well expressed throughout. I read the AN as well, and I thought, wow, you know, it kind of lined up well with the song. So excellent work, NJ, and thanks for sharing with us, as always. That was great. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think the next one's going to be a spot jam, right?
Yeah, the next one is Burn. So here we go.
Keep it.
again, the Coverdale Days with Richie Blackmore. I know we've got a SoundCloud with Arcana's name written all over it for the next piece.
Yes, we do. Okay, so the engine's up. Let me hit the button.
A blazing temptress invites damnation, hidden behind veils of cascading curves, yearning the touch of depraved arousal to sow the seeds of infected obsession. Innocence slides beneath sheets of sin, seduced by her scorching, fiery kisses, in stained surrender to profane pleasure, damned by desire in godless abandon, in wicked webs so sedately woven, enticing iniquity with evil enchantment, sealing allegiance to sullied legions amid promises of bliss entwined in rapture, obeying the embrace of desecrated persuasion. She slides her poison inside the soul, oozing foul stigmas in pools of corruption, marrying surrender to diabolic devotion, writhing in ecstasy, caressed by darkness, infecting purity with bias and blasphemy, smeared in disgrace by defamed dignity, spewed with venom from twisting tongues. This infernal infatuation binds in lechery, with greed for satisfaction sated by lust, arising from depths of unholy irreverence, to descend into flames from the molten pit.
Great read, Arcana, and thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Pam, you're up first.
All right. Well, yes, that is an amazing read, as always. This is just a wonderful dark write with notes of sensuality, especially in lines like hidden behind veils of cascading curves, obeying the embrace of desecrated persuasion, with greed for satisfaction sated by lust. What I really like about this is the fact that it's a dark rite that isn't just about a woman who's wicked or naughty. She is downright evil. Like, as this poem is being read, you can see the horns, you can see the pointed tail. As always, he's got just wonderful alliteration. I like how even when his poems don't rhyme, there's a certain meter to them in his word choice and in the length of the lines. You know, and this is just beautiful darkness all the way through, but I especially like in wicked webs so sedately woven, enticing iniquity with evil enchantment, sealing allegiances to solid legions amid promises of bliss entwined in rapture. Just brilliant lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, you're mutating.
Well, why wouldn't I be? I mean, we are, what, 48 minutes into the show, and I'm about due. I thought it was a wonderful piece by Arcana. Excellent imagery and wonderful wonderful stanzas throughout. You know, I pulled one just because, you know, I wanted to pull one, but they were all just fabulous. You know, obeying the embrace of desecrated persuasion, she slides her poison into the soul, oozing foul stigmatas in pools of corruption, marrying surrender to diabolic devotion. You know, he just really has a great way of penning the darkness. You know, and this is proof right here, as if we need it anyway. Great job, Arcana. Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. That first line leads off, a blazing temptress. So already she's the scarlet lettered one. And from then on, it continues with her downward spiral, her descent into hell, and thence becoming the succubus of all things. So it's a great piece, especially the unholy irreverent who descend into flames from the molten pit, and thoroughly enjoying herself as she goes down. Nicely done, Arcana. Thank you.
Back over. From going from there. We got flames. I wish somebody get a fire extinguisher and take care of L&P. I think it's going up. I don't know. I think Pam has something to do with it. She's trying to take care of it. I'm sorry. I can't keep a straight face tonight. Let me see what I have here. Next one I'm going to play is Space Trucket. So here we go. Well, we almost go. Yeah, there it is. All right, here we go.
We had a lot.
That was from Ian Gillan and Gang off that monumental record Machine Head back in 1972. And that's the one song they should have sought out for the bar scene in the original Star Wars movie.
Cool. That's an interesting little tidbit.
Well, no, they should have sorted out. It would have played off good in
in
that bar scene.
Well, still interesting.
Oh, my goodness. They got, now they got...
We got Pee-wee's answer to this song.
Okay, well, here we go. And Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this one for us.
All right. This is Luna C by Pee-wee Cousin. And it goes like this. Brother of mine, the time is soon. People say I'm crazy as a loon. But tomorrow at high noon, we go sailing for the moon. Oarsmen, cast off your chains. Feel the cold asteroids ring. Much for us to see today as we blast into space. All rudder full to starboard side. Damn comet nearly took my eye. Wait and listen to our boat swing as we glide along Saturn's rings. Then we'll be in a sky of sea, sailing away toward dignity, everything we could never be, waiting for us in Luna Sea. Pisces right by our right, side, swimming in space while we ride. Luna C, you must romance her, least that I was told by Cancer. First mate, fetch the rigging for sail. Pray that we live to tell our tale. Go on sailing the starry skies, and if not, it'll be our demise. We'll all be in a sky of sea, space sailing away to dignity. Everything we could never be is waiting for us in Luna C. And poem.
Great read, man. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what do you think?
You know, I think that Pee-wee did an excellent job with this piece. I really do. I think he captured the prompt really well. And, you know, there was great, there was just a great story running through. You know, we'll all be in the sky of sea, space sailing away to dignity. Everyone, everything we could never be. Is waiting for us in Luna. You know, I thought, I just thought it was a great job, Pee-wee, and excellent, excellent take on their prompt. Enjoyed that one.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What do you think?
Yeah, this was fun to read. I told Pee-wee in my comments that I thought Space Trucking was the perfect song for him to write to. This has, it was clever, it was fun, it had great wordplay. I like how it had, even though the language was straightforward, it had a very surreal quality to it. I really like how he made lunacy, the two separate words, Luna, the moon, and C-S-E-A, so that it has that kind of dreamlike quality to it. I really like the stanza that mentions Pisces and Cancer because that makes me think of the Nirvana song with the line, she loves me like a Pisces. And I can't remember, I'm blanking on the rest of the lyrics, but still, it makes me think of a Nirvana song, and I like that. You know, and I really thought this was just delightful all the way through. I like where he brings in oarsmen, cast off your chains, feel the cold asteroids rain, much for us to see today as we blast into space. So, you know, he brings in the idea of the oarsmen, like the old Viking ships or the old ships with people sitting in the bottom rowing. But then they're like begins in this freedom to go into space. So this is definitely quite the trip and very well done.
Nicely said, Dan. Thank you. All right, Pee-wee, I like the mood and tone in this. You've hit the original by going back in time. This kind of hits on that note of Cream's Tales of Brave Ulysses, but it also walks back into Greek legend a bit with the thoughts of the oars, the mainsail, the rudder, and everything else that you put in with the notes. But it kind of hits on that note of Odysseus' travels, and that thought of being taken care of by the gods to be placed into the sky as one of those star clusters. So you've taken a little bit of the old, married it up with the original, and you come out with a nice piece, brother. Thank you very much.
Nice. Okay,
all
guys,
right.
And for my next magic trick,
yes.
I'm going to put on smoke on the water. Here we almost go. Here we go.
That also came off that Stella album, 1972, Machine Head.
Yeah, great tune. Okay, well, I have a poem here for you to read, Rex, by Bill Schiller, if you would be so kind.
All right. Stained in Purple Hue by Bill Schiller. The first notes I learned on guitar were recognizable by all that listened. Fire may sparkle, glisten, but deep purple's blaze rivaled the Grand Hotel. When the smoke lifted and fire fell from eyesight, a purple hue shined. No song better reminds how reputations can rise over smoke and water. When other hope would be slaughtered, deep purple never died. Whenever a fog rolls over Lake Waters, deep purple floods my mind. From Lake Geneva to Liverpool, Blackmore and McBride rocked with rifts. The idols of intention pushed on beyond Zappa's motherish inventions. Smoke on the water panted, a parted path for these pioneers of hard rock. Even after the folly of a flare gun, opportunity can loudly knock. The original heroes of heavy metal reverberate louder than fire in the sky. Deep purple proved, never matters what mortal mendacity confronts you. Good music will never be defined. End quote. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Well, I really like this one a lot. You know, I like the straightforward style, and I like how he transitions, like that very first line being about how this song is important to him because it's the first one he learned to play in the, on the guitar. And then how all the way through, this is a tribute poem, you know, I like how then after that, he goes into the story about how the song came about. And then for me, this is, as I was saying, a tribute poem, not only to the band and their music, but the tone that they set for future generations, especially when it came to heavy metal. And I think he sums that up perfectly in the original heroes of heavy metal reverberated louder than fire in the sky. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. And Jean?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful piece. I really did. I thought it was a great share for tonight. You know, I liked how he hit on all the different aspects as well. You know, as I said to you earlier, Rex, about, you know, he said it was one of the first pieces that he learned on the guitar. And I had a friend who also is one of the first pieces that she learned. And my understanding from somebody I spoke to way back when, and God, I'll never remember who now, they were saying that it's one of those things that a lot of people learn, you know, right at the beginning because it's such a, I don't know if it's the chords or however it's set up, it's just a great learning tool for them. So I thought that was neat that he happened to mention that. And I think that he really went through all the facts, you know, and I thought he did a great job in it. You know, when he talks about Lake Geneva and, you know, and just the smoke coming up over the water and what have you. I just thought it was really well put together. And, you know, I love the note in the author's notes as well about the beginning riffs that they were a variant of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. And I thought that was an interesting tidbit to put in there, even if it was just in the author's notes and not into the piece itself. It just goes to show that he was really tuned into what he was doing here, and I thought it was wonderful. So thanks, Bill. Great job.
It's all true. They are variants of Beethoven's Fifth, and Ian Anderson once opined on that. He hit on those riffs that were classic, iconic. Beethoven's Fifth was the first one he alluded to. Then he hit on Smoke on the Water. He also hit on Locomotive Breath, and he hit on Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love as those, it's the same four or five notes played in a different order by another monkey, as he put it. But he said all those great riffs come out of four or five notes that they're all clumped together, but you play them in a different order and pattern and to get the sound that you want. And he's right. Those songs that he mentioned all had that classic riff, because he claimed that Beethoven's Fifth was the first great riff the world had seen, and everybody had kind of caught on to that. Now, the song itself is very much true. In December of 71, Deep Purple was out in Montreux to record and play. There was a music festival going on, and they were going to use the Rolling Stones mobile truck to record their new album, which was due to come out in March of the next year. And Frank Zappa was playing at the venue that they were going to go into. That was the Montreux Casino. And as they put in the song, some stupid with a flare gun burned the place to the ground. He fired a flare gun, closed the auditorium, and it set fire to the place, burned it, cleared the whole down. And then he hits on that note of the Grand Hotel. They did end up at the Grand Hotel. It was empty, empty, cold, and bare. They recorded most of their albums of Machine Head in the corridors of that empty hotel, except for one song, Smoke on the Water. They recorded that at a vacant theater around the block called The Pavilion. They did it in four takes, and the last take, Ritchie Blackmore got the riff down perfectly. Down, down, down. They were so loud, they were getting complaints. The cops were banging on the doors, trying to get in to get them out. And they finally did after that fourth take, but the music was so loud, it was reverberating off the mountains. People could hear it for 5 miles around.
My God. That's something. That is something.
Well done, Bill. Thank you very much.
Well, Lex, I just want to let you know that I'm surprised we didn't have that same occurrence here in L&P. You see them two out there playing with the flare gun, Pee-wee and Pam again. They're hazards tonight.
I just want you to know that, okay? I'm keeping an eye on them. I got you.
Okay. And for the next poem, I have one here by Robert M. So let me push the button. Oh, my God.
This is my recital of A Really Deep Purple, inspired by Deep Purple. Where am I? I awaken with a head full of pain and a mouthful of cotton. Such a terrible taste in my mouth, like sulfur and dirty socks. Don't ask how I know. I'm almost deafened by the sound of screaming and explosions. I peer to the sky and it looks as though the sun were pulsing, as if to a musical rhythm. You can see the magnetic field in every color ray coming out of it. The ground was like standing on a waterbed, turbulent and nauseating. My vision keeps alternating between blurs and chaos. I noticed that the water was almost bubbling. Steam seemed to be emanating from it so thick it was like smoke. Tiny goblins are running around with their parents. They keep pointing to the sky and letting loose disgusting cackling at what they saw. The ground is giving way. The sky is exploding. The waters are on fire. Demons roam the earth. I guess I will think twice about taking shrooms at a firework festival next time. Maybe.
Great read, Robert. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Gene. What do you think?
What a trip.
It was great. Robert really hit upon it well.
And I think that, you know, it was a clever way to handle it. All the wonderful, imagery, and that wasn't the word I wanted, but it'll work. The imagery was great, and I thought that it was just a very descriptive piece with all of the, the great descriptions running through it about the water and the smoke, and I don't know, I just thought he did it so well. And I really wasn't expecting all those two lines. I guess that's what kind of threw me, my comment. But, the ground is giving way. The sky is exploding. The waters are on fire. demons roam the earth. I guess I'll think twice about taking shrooms at a fireworks festival next time. Maybe. I don't know. It just gave me a thought at the end, but I thought he hit on a lot of great visuals here. So well done, Robert, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this cracked me up. I like when Robert brings out his sense of humor. I told him earlier that I thought this had great twisted humor, fun lines, and was quite the trip, complete with a full spectrum of colors and hyperactive goblins. And of course, you know, because once you tell me I can't ask, not to ask something, I have to ask, how exactly do you know how sulfur and dirty socks taste? And to which he responded, that is a very private question. Hence the don't ask how, I know them. Oh, man, but I love this. I love that he took us on this trip. Like, it's a totally different take on the prompt than what you would expect. And I did like the mention, especially of the imagery of the ground was like standing on a waterbed, because that feels so 1980s. I don't know if all the rest of you remember, but man, my parents, my grandparents, every adult I knew had a waterbed in the freaking 1980s. I like the mention of the little goblins. The tiny goblins are running around with their parents. And that's a clever, because you can imagine to somebody who's like tripping on shrooms, like little kids at a fireworks festival looking like goblins. So very cool, right? And very well done.
Well said. By the time you finish this, Gene hit on that note of a trip. And all I could think of was Jerry Garcia. What a long, strange trip it's been. From start to finish, the sort of a salt button dirty socks as the cottonmouth entree to as a lead-in with a nice touch, and the humor built around it, as well as the humor in the tiny goblins running around with their parents. But also, that's what on the back end, I guess we'll think twice about taking shrooms at a firework festival next time. Maybe. There's a note of nuts in that. Yeah, I'll be doing that again. It was a bit of fun, even though it did kind of walk a little on the strange side of the world. But then again, if you're going on the psychedelic end of watching fireworks, you might as well go all in and enjoy the view. Mm-hmm. Nicely does pop it.
I'm telling you. That was good. Okay. Well, for my next magic trick, I'm going to put up the Highway Star. So here we go.
another rock off machine head.
Okay, guys. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Betty Page, and I'm going to read this one. Okay, here we go. It's called Cherry Star. No honey is going to take my star. I'm going to pin him to the ground. No honey is going to beat my star. He's going to love me, go for rounds. Oh, he's a killer, so mean. He's got everything. Soul so gripping, my flower. Thick plush thighs, all tingling. I love it, and I need it. I seek it. Yeah, he's a wild hurricane. All night, hold tight. I'm his cherry star. Nobody's going to take my guy. I'm going to keep him to the end. Nobody's going to have my guy. He stays close on every bend. Oh, he's a killer, so mean. He's got everything. Like he's moving south, lost my control. Oh, makes me sing. I love him. I need him. He'll feed me. Yeah, he turns me on. All night, hold on tight. I'm his cherry star. No honey is going to beat me red. I've got speed inside my veins. No honey is going to steal my bed now that we're on the road again. Oh, in ecstasy again. He's got everything. Like he grooves the sound on the open road. There's everything. I love it and I need it. He'll feed me. Hot, fine, sublime, all mine. All night, hold on tight. I'm his cherry star. No honey is going to take my star. I'm going to pin him to the ground. Nobody's going to beat my star. He's going to love me, go for round. Oh, he's a killer, so mean. He's got everything. Like a driving power, big fat tires, and everything. I love him and I need him. He'll feed me. Yeah, he's a mad hurricane. All night, hold on tight. I'm his cherry star. I'm his cherry star. I'm his cherry star. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And damn it, Betty, you're going to do these parodies on us. You better be delivering some sound clouds and the voice to go with it. All right, Pam, what do you think?
I have to agree there because this is a spot-on parody, and we all know that Betty has an amazing singing voice, so she could have delivered it. But you did do a great read there, Gene. You know, I really like how this is. It's just crazy fun. It's you know, the whole idea of feeling oh so sexy with that groovy touch. I do like though how she parodies the song and puts in this. I like where she says, "No honey's gonna take my star." Like that line repeated a couple times at least throughout the write really speaks to me. The whole idea of, yeah, I'm gonna fall for you. I might fall in lust, but as far as my dreams go, they're gonna keep on soaring. And I like that touch there. I also really like where she brings in the nod to the car and the driving. He's a killer, so mean. He's got everything, like a driving power, big fat tires and everything. And I like how that was double entendre with those lines there. So, you know, Betty really just knows how to walk the edge of the line without ever crossing it and make something fun and sexy. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gene, you got to read it?
You know, it was fun to read this one. Absolutely. And I thought that it was, I honestly didn't catch it was any kind of parody, but, you know, leave it to me. Because if I had, I would have said, Rex, you need to read this one. No, I'm only kidding. I don't think your voice did this one. I just thought it was really a great take on the prompt and a great tale told throughout. I thought it was, you know, enjoyable and fun to read. So great job, Betty, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. She did this perfectly on the angle of working the magic with the voice and the words fitting each phrase and turning the highway star into a cherry star. Great touch. And Uwe's a killer so mean, a killer machine, the car itself. She ran this perfectly. Spent a little time looking at the words and wanting to, all right, where's my voice going to go with this? And hit on the notion of, I think probably Cherry Star turning that that chorus phrase, Highway Star, into the motif to work around. So nicely done, Betty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Let me see now. Hold on. I just looked at what I was going to do and forgot just that quick. Okay, here I go. I'm going to put on Hush.
Song was originally written by Joe South for recording artist Billy Joe Royal back in 67, and this became a hit for Deep Purple in 1968.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, Rex, I'm going to put up this next piece by Jasker Ann. And let me hit the button.
The adversary. When it hit my eyes, a warm, scented breath, brushing against my tiny palms, in dark winter room, a promise for rising. As I raise my head up, only to find it is, in the unknown air, living really, a monster letting again and missing leaves. There's nest, a jaw dropping walls, a drop in diamond, an exuberant anger spattered, breaking all the barriers, as if after dropping a bottle of gin and tonic, and having a word singing out of it in me. When I shut my eyes, I inhale the night from burning of blood or with pale written skin. And exhale an acid smell, going the field, solid petals, singing verses made of color, high in the freedom. As I raise my head up, your sublime smile, shining in equal humility, ancient devotion surrounding me. You gaze, catching against the sand, washing your surgery. I am grateful that I found you. Even if I get lost in the whirlwind, your beautiful memory will come to cleanse my permanent path yet again, because I was the fruit hanging low on the sweet tree of ever knowledge. I begin patience for this moment of life. You connecting a dot are the last set of videos of my unwilling book. Thank you.
Great read, Jeff Grant. Thank you very much to SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Pam, let's kick it with you, Foyt.
All right. Well, this is absolutely beautiful. I really admire Jasker Ann's poetry. I think he has strong use of imagery and metaphors. I really like how this rite in general speaks to me on the idea of putting the past aside, forgiving yourself and others of the past, and looking forward to love. There's a real appreciation for love here. I really like the imagery of when I shut my eyes, I inhale the night storm, plunging the facade of your pearlescent skin, and exhale an earthly smell, plowing the fields, crowded petals, sing with voices made of color. I love the line, voices made of color. I think that just fits so well with the prompt. And also, I am grateful that I have found you. Even if I get lost in the whirlwind, your beautiful memories will come to cleanse my pungent past yet again. I like the idea of finding somebody or loving somebody and being loved in return, being that idea of the past being cleansed. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was excellent. I really did. It's just a beautiful poem. And I'm like Pam, I always admire Jasker Ann's writing. He really says beautiful things in such a sweet way. It's never, all curled up and, cutesy. It's always, it's very direct and it's very honest. And I think that's what I like about his poetry. It's honest. This one here, I have to say, I was looking for a section that I really liked. And I had to pick it up at, I am grateful that I have found you. Even if I get lost in the whirlwinds, your beautiful memories will come to cleanse my plunging past yet again. Because love is the fruit hanging low on the sweet tree of ripened knowledge. I waited in patience for this moment to arrive. You connecting the dots of the last tattered pages of my unfinished book. Just beautiful thoughts and so well expressed throughout. And I think that Jasker Ann really did a wonderful job with this. I thought this was a great chair for us tonight. It softened, it just softened the evening a little bit. Just a little bit, and I like that. So, thanks, Jasker Ann, very much.
Oh, absolutely. I think the hush in this is for the spirit and the soul, because he offers up twice, when I shut my eyes. There is that notion of in doing that, of shutting everything else out. So you get that a sense of peacefulness watching over one's soul. And it hits on that notion of a scribbling eulogy of monsoon wedding, of rain and glistening leaves, then witness their jaw dropping waltz of diamonds, the drops of diamonds, with exuberance engulfed petals, breaking all the barriers, as if, after dropping a bottle of gin and tonic and hummingbirds singing out the same day, the nice touches. And I think that those last five lines kind of hit on the very same notion of the hush of mind, soul, and spirit in the moment. I waited in patience for this moment to arrive, you connecting the dots of the last tattered pages of my unfinished book. Great finish.
Absolutely.
Excellent, Jacqueline. Thank you very much.
Okay. I don't know. I'm a little confused with myself, but that's not all that. Okay. The next piece I have on the board is by Poetry George. By Poetry Cures My Soul. And this is, the prompt on this was Money Talks. I don't have this, Rex. Did you give me that one, or did I lose it? Or,
yes, I did.
Folks.
But we're kind of running on the backside of time, too, so.
Okay. I will put this up, and if you to read it, Rex, that would be wonderful.
Money by Poetry Cures My Soul. Cash goes round, found, nothing is glee, everything is unsound, not a dollar or a rupee, without a dependable guarantee. Bankers in a muddle, poor nations in a clash, money is the root of all our evil, cursed unless you disagree, owning it is a craft profound, becoming downed, undersea, with free cash. And boom. All right, Jean. I guess we can start with you.
Well, I think it was a great take on the prompt, and just really well stated. It's great low brevity, and I think it really packs the punch. You know, cash goes round, never found, nothing is glee, everything is unsound, not a dollar or a rupee. You know, it was just really well pulled together. And great job, Poetry Cures, and I think you did a wonderful job with it. So enjoyable. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean.
Yeah, I like this. It's a brevity that says a lot. I also like that he took a different Deep Purple song. This had a really nice rhyme to it. I also like that he shaped it in like almost like a shape of a diamond. I thought that worked really well for the theme. To me, I like how this spoke on the idea of how loving money before people is really what damages our souls. It's what damages humanity. And I like that it ends with becoming downed undersea with free cash. Like the idea that nothing is for free. If you're getting it for free, you're going to be paying somewhere. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, guys. I think he's got a great grip on what's going on right now. Everything is unsound, not a dollar or a rupee. What else? It goes round, never found. The idea of it doesn't you look at how the trading is done. All they do is hit a button, and all of a sudden you find $200 million in, say, Ukraine, and another $100 million in Turkey, and another $2 billion that rolls into Germany, all with the click of a computer button these days. So it goes round. It's never found. And the idea of it's depleting notion in the moment, and he hits on bankers in a muddle, poor nations in a clash. The idea of the fall, what is coming, because everything is right now, it's on that cliff edge where the market is going to crash. And when that happens, what we have in money is going to be absolutely bloody worthless, because we're drowning in so much money out there that there is, and the fact that the supply lines have all been dropped off because everybody's decided, hey, we can't use gas now, we can't use oil, and we can't use nuclear yet. We're supposed to exist without the ease of something, and now everything's going up in price to the point where you're going to need wheelbarrows, just like they did back in the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done there, poetry. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read the next one, and that is by Jessna Sazan. I think I got it right. I don't know. I'm hoping. And here we go. It's called Purple Spectrum. Violet, the purplish blue color of the spectrum. Purple orchid shades, a rainbow color, also plum. Grapes, blueberry, fruits of purple shade. Some flowers, carnation, lotus, daisy, lily, lilac, lavender. Ultraviolet light draws mosquitoes from sleepy people. The light shines in the dark, reduces blood cycle. The bugs luring to electrocution. Protect plants, gardens, beds, growth, conservation. House paint colors, shades of mauve, boysenberry, flower colors of heather, violet, lavender, mulberry. Fruit colors of plum, sangria, raisin, wine. Vegetable colors of eggplant, cabbage, vine. Stone shine, constellations, stars of the universe. Gems, amethyst, quartz, garnet, purple. Violet, sapphire, fashion accessories, purses, handbags, skirts, shirts, symbol of royalty and wealth, meditation, and highest host. And the poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And when she said purple spectrum, she did hit a purple spectrum.
Yes, you
All right, Pam.
Yeah, this was certainly a wonderful imagery. Delving into the many variations of the color purple. It had some great alliteration to it and, you know, good stuff. Very well done.
Yeah, I like the fact that she threw in an ultraviolet. The light shines in the dark. The bug insect trap luring to electrocution protects plant, garden beds, conservation, touches that, and then dropping in the odd tidbits of color that you not often think about. Boysenberry, mulberry, nice touches, and dropping in the eggplant as well, great to it. The purple-headed cabbage again, and then even the crystallines, amethyst, quartz, garnet, sapphire, royalty, symbols of royalty and wealth, great. But also the thought to, now it's a commonplace item that purple can be had by anyone, and its fruited flavor walks in many hues, tones, and pastels as well. So, nicely done, Jessna. That was quite the array of colored hues to bring forth. And Jean, you got to read it.
Well, you know, I thought it was an interesting take on the music prompts for the show. I must say, she captured many purple images. So nice work. Thanks for sharing. Okay. Pam, I have your piece up next. So.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Let me go ahead and pull that for you. There you go. Fragments of Time, Electrical Rope by Pam Ray. So if you'd be so kind as to read that for us, Miss Pam.
Absolutely. Thank you. Fragments of Time on Electrical Rope. The spies are all spying. The people are crying, violence and silence thrown against the wall. And Mary is naught but contrary. Master Canned Ham ran with the flan, looking for signs of some hope. But hope couldn't be, so the lies all came free on the swing of electrical rope. Broken fragments of time in the hand of the mime, shallow prospects of peace, cutthroat coins, blood spilled, and gods never pay for their crimes. Lessons are never learned from the pages all burned, blackballed brainstorming, nocturnal spittle, editing the bullet in the handwriting of a stooge warden. Frigid waters wait for the sun, the warmth of mercy is gone. A canary song kills the cattle. Farmers are crushed to huckleberry mush under the stumbling stones of the bridge. End poem.
What was that? A little dot from what's it back in the back with the earth. I'm your huckleberry.
Yeah.
Bring it on up.
Well, Pam, I thought it was excellent. I really think that you did an excellent job, as always, you know, with your poetry. But, you know, the spies are all spying. The people are crying. Violence and silence thrown against the wall. And Mary is not but contrary. You know, you pull these images in. And when I'm reading, you know, your poetry, it's funny because, like, I have to reach over to the right and grab a little snippet, and then I have to get over to the left, and I pull Mary's contrary self over here. And, you know, you keep me hopping with your words. And I think that it's wonderful. It's never a complaint. You just swing on the electrical rope. So you got it. You got that. That's what you did. You had me doing it. And I find it intriguing, you know, because your poetry always tends to I don't know, keep me hopping along, and I think that's a wonderful thing. So, great job, as always. I liked it.
Well, electrical rope. Boy, that kind of hits on the notion of, is everybody being wired in copper, or is that actually electrical tape strung up as a rope? Either way, I guess it'll do the trick if you're going to hang somebody with it. But the spies are all spying, the people are all crying, violence and silence going against the wall, and Mary is all the contrarian. That's a true note. Even though you twisted a bit, it still works out to Mary, Mary, quite contrary. But you hit on Master Canned Ham ran with the flan. Boy, that Master Canned Ham, that's a dried up bit of meat in some funky juice in a can, ran with the flan. I say there's some political notes in here that offer up their amusing annotations to what too might be running within these words. Cutthroat coins, blood spilled, and gods never pay for their crimes. Well, there's a lot of that going on. Blackball brainstorming, there's a lot of that going on too. Nocturnal spittle editing the bullet in the handwriting of a stooge warden. God, we got a lot of that shit running around. So carefully hidden motif of reality underlying the fact that everybody's being crushed to huckleberry mush.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Well, Rex, I have one more on the board. I think we can do it.
All right.
Okay. And this one is for you to read. And this is by Lawrence 67. So let me put it here. And it's called Namazok by Lawrence 67. Whenever you're ready.
All righty. Okay, Sanguatomic, I don't know that one. All right, it's called Anomic Dog by Lawrence 67. So, Ralph the Dog, The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie. Hey, Ralph, I'm eating your kibble. Huh? Ralph, your mama's a beach. Huh? Ralph. Yeah, this is a tale of a dog that chases his tail. Ralph, representing house dogs, street dogs, crazy dogs, dogs of the world unite. Yeah, funky dogs, nasty dogs, anomic dogs, on all fours when he's out there on the streets. May compete, nothing but the dog in him. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Nothing but the dog in him. Or on all fours when he's out there walking the streets. May compete, nothing but the dog in him. Why must he feel like that? Why must he chase the cat? Nothing but the dog in him. Nothing but the dog in him. Ralph. Why must he feel like that? Why must he chase the cat? Nothing but the dog in him. Nothing but the dog in him. Ralph. Do the dog catcher. Bow, wow, wow. Yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Ralph, leader of the pack. Wild dogs, crazy dogs, anomic dogs, and po, and po.
Oh my God.
You gotta bring out the funk to close the show. And damn, I didn't know that song. I'll have to check that one out. Just with some shits and giggles. All right, Pam.
Yeah, you know, I like how he put the end poem in there for you at the end. The whole write all the way through was clever. And, oh, it was actually only the one little section that was supposed to be sung, not the whole poem. So, but, oh, my gosh, as always, Rex, like, you did an amazing performance of that. You know, I like his sense of humor. I like how he brings us into his adventures of the dogs and cats, and just clever and fun, and made me smile all the way through.
Thank you, Pam. Well, Gene, you want to sink your teeth into this?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you did a wonderful read of the piece, because I don't know. Well, I don't know. I think I would have chopped it all to hell, but I think that Lawrence writes these things with you in mind. I do. I think that he sets them up for you to read, because, you know, I don't know. I just think he does. And it was well done. I don't know the other song either, so I don't want to lie. But it was definitely a funny piece, and just... I don't know. It was comical. It was entertaining. It was, it had just a real good stage quality, so to speak. You know, it was written with a performance in mind, and it was fun. It really was. So I have to thank him for the chuckle on that. And nice read, Rex. Good job.
Yeah, this does kind of bite on those notes of a Cheech and Chong banter back and forth.
Absolutely.
But bringing in Ralph for a little change, but still having Nigel and Alfie to open up, and then just letting Ralph run with it, which kind of, yeah, running with the dog, so to speak. Oh, but, and yeah, nothing but dropping in, nothing but the dog in him, nothing but the dog in it. Ralph! Why must he feel like that? Why must he chase the cats? Funny idea. Hey, they're sitting this one out because Ralph likes to chase cats. I do like the bite and humor. It's very wry and dry, and some people might not tuck into it. But if you actually read it for the enjoyment that it offers up, like a Dr. Seuss angle, it works well, and it makes people laugh. So thank you, Lawrence. It's appreciated.
Absolutely.
Well,
okay.
We're at the back of the thing.
Yeah, we cleared the board. There's no After Midnight show tonight. Tomorrow night is the Garden of Enlightenment with Lulu Wilder. I believe she is starting the front page picks process. And, you know, God bless her on that. And after that, we have After Midnight with Rex and Pam. I wonder what they're doing tomorrow night. Would you happen to know, Rex?
Yes, we have Ogden Nash Quotes.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. And then we have Twisted Tuesdays on Tuesday. And Pam, would you happen to know what that is?
I know it's Naomi's turn, and she ran a contest, and it had artwork in it, and it's filled. Beyond that, I'm lost. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's better than, you know, not, right? And then Wednesday, Wednesday morning, we have Keeping It Brief, followed by The Art of Seduction with Hoot this week, Pam. Let's see if you can work on that one for me.
Yes, this week is myself and Naomi, and I am running that contest and looking for rights for it, and it is The Art of Umberto Brunelleschi.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Brunelleschi? Well, he sounds like a common Italian drunk.
He's a good Irish man. Leave him alone. Just say. No, that's funny, though. I guess we'll leave it there because, you know, it's 12:01, so nobody hears us right now. So we can follow off from there tomorrow night. But great show, great topic for tonight. You know, she pulled in some great poetry. And, awesome. So nice job.
Absolutely.
Nice work.
Wonderful evening. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Pam, for stopping in. Pee-wee for the boys. And next week is free.
Free?
Yes, the group, free. That was Paul Rogers' first group as a young teenager.
Okay. Sounds like a new one on me, but I might know more than I think I do.
Well, you'll remember him because Bad Company evolved out of that group. That was his next one.
Gotcha. Okay, sounds good.
And you might remember the song All Right Now.
Yep, I remember that song.
That's
now
free.
Got me out. I'm catching on. Okay. There we go. Okay, I got it right here. See that? I have to go searching things up, and I go, I knew that. I can't help it. Like, those brain cells no longer exist. Can't help myself. Okay. You know, sometimes you just got to be a little honest. Okay, guys. Well, look, it was a great night. I loved it. Great poetry. Great fun. Thanks, Pam, for hanging out with us.
All right,
that's
guys.
Always a great
good night. We'll see you next week.
Yes, there we go. Okay, good night, guys.